The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Let's see what we can do. So we've been teaching on Oikos, the house of God, trying to show that God lives in the believer. And maybe you were here last Sunday or last two Sundays, and you're wondering, is this what has he teaching since then? Actually, amen. And today has been day 15, glory to God, of learning the word of God. Are you excited about that? So today is day 15 of sitting under God's word, learning the word of God, getting blessed. So we started talking about the glory of this latter house. Put it up, Haggai 2 verse 9. Haggai 2 verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. And we described and we showed that when the Bible said this latter house, in context, as we've explained all the while, he's talking about you, trying to say and show that the glory that shall be found in you as God's house. Now, because remember, the believer is the house of God. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, it says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So the believer is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So God lives in us. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6 tells us, whose house are we? We are the house of God. So God lives in us. God tabernacles in us. And so when he's saying the glory of this latter house, he was trying to compare the believer, that's the latter house, with all the other houses that they've tried to build for God, including Solomon's temple, including Moses' tabernacle. Are you following me? All those houses they've tried to build for God, he's trying to say that the glory that shall live in this latter house, referring to the believer, shall be greater than all the other temples they've built. And what that simply means is that the glory of God that lives in you is nothing. Let me put it this way. The glory of God that was in those temples and all of that, that were in those temples, or that was in those temples, is nothing compared to the glory of God that is in you right now. So the believer in Christ, you house the glory of God. And that glory is Christ Jesus. Glory to God. And we've been looking so far on how we can manifest and show forth that glory. Because again, that glory is not a thing, is not a cloud. That glory is not even miracles. However, when that glory is manifested, miracles will follow. The Bible tells us in John chapter 2 and verse 11, giving the commentary after Jesus turned water into wine. The Bible says this is the beginning of miracles, you know, that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. So that miracle was described as a manifestation of his glory. And so the glory might not be miracles, but when the glory is shown forth, miracles will follow. And we've been looking at how we can do this, you know. And we began to look at the gifts of the Spirit, because I showed you, it is in the believer displaying and flowing in the things of the Spirit that he gets to manifest the glory of God. And so we've looked at a couple of those gifts. We've looked at utterance gifts, for instance, you know, praying in tongues, you know, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and we've been very practical as to how we can flow in these things. And yesterday we looked at the revelation gifts. Are you blessed? We're looking at word of knowledge, word of wisdom, you know, the discerning of spirits and all of that. And it was such an amazing, amazing time yesterday. Even though I didn't have time to finish that up, but then I don't know whether we'll come back to that later. But we're so blessed. We're so blessed. I tell you, if you've not been coming around, you are totally missing. There is nothing that can be done about it. I'm telling you the truth. If you are not here, you are not here. There's nothing that can be done about it. And you know, let me say this to you. Whenever opportunities like this come for you to sit under God's word for that long, please take it. It doesn't come every time, okay? We're not a church that meets every day. We're just meeting this way for these 30 days. So take advantage of this kind of moments that comes and then handle it, harness it, use it well. Use it well. Are you following me? So that you can grow. If you've been following us for this past 30 days, you will bear me witness, your life is changing. I know it. Okay, and you know it already. Hallelujah. And the beautiful thing is this, and I said it and I'm saying it again. It's not even as though when you start, you know, all this being in church for some time for this long, it's not as though your other lives will begin to suffer. Other aspects of life will not even suffer. Your business will not suffer. That's the truth. Amen. Because you know one thing that happens, when you have to be in church for 30 days like that, one of the things you learn is how to become ambidextrous. But that's one thing that God wants to do. God wants to raise ambidextrous believers. Believers that can be excellent in their business, excellent in their ministry, excellent in their studies, excellent in life. Who will not just be able to do one thing, who will be able to do many things excellently. Are you following what I'm saying? So if your excuse is, well, if I'm in church, how will my business do well? Well, that's why you have to be in church. So you can learn how to multitask, as we call it today. Because I've said it many, many times, there is nobody in life that will be doing only one thing. And this is why there are people, for instance, who have not learned what I'm saying. That's why they get married. If they dare commit to church, their family will suffer. If they dare focus on their family, their spiritual life will suffer. If they focus on their business, family will suffer. And that's why there's a problem. God expects that you're an excellent businessman, an excellent family man, an excellent spiritual man. I know what I'm talking about. Managing all of them excellently. Combining them well. But that's the plan of God. If you look at that Proverbs 31, we were talking about Proverbs 31 woman. That woman was everything. She was a good wife, a good mother, a good businesswoman, a good everything. And she combined them very well. At least that passage tells us that. I get what I'm saying. And so all this excuse of, if I'm always in church, how will this happen? How will that happen? You are actually denying yourself an opportunity to get trained on how to do life. I feel what I'm talking about. Because eventually in life, you have to learn to combine a lot. You have to learn to multitask. You have to learn to be ambidextrous and not give excuses. So that tomorrow you wouldn't say, well, kids, why I don't have time for you as your father is because your father is making money for you. You're a foolish father. Yes, you should have time for your children and make money for them at the same time. Say amen. Are you still here? Glory to God. Or you look at your children and say, you know, I would have been a rich man if not because of people. Because I'm taking care of people. You should be all of them. But you will not be a foolish father. Just saying. Well, so today we're looking at... We start talking about power gifts, for instance. Power gifts. What are the power gifts? There are three. The gift of faith. The gift of healing. Working on miracles. So look at that. First Corinthians 12 verse 8. Now pay attention to what I'm going to show you. So for the one is given by the Spirit. Let's list them again. The word of wisdom to another. The word of knowledge to another. Faith by the same Spirit to another. Gifts of healing by the same Spirit to another. Working of miracles. So we see faith, healings, miracles. I will take just healings and take miracles today. Tomorrow I'll give a lot of time to the gift of faith. Are you feel what I'm saying? Let's just take healings and miracles today. Because I want you to see that you can actually flow in these things. So that is the gift of healing. And remember I said something. Once we begin to teach on these things, what should be ringing in your mind is, I am the house of God. God lives in me. The glory of God lives in me. Therefore, I can flow in all of this. So I'm not trying to show you things you should try to get. Mm-mm. God is showing us what is already working inside of us. Because we are God's house. And in God's house, there is God's glory. Are you following me? And so because you are full of the Holy Ghost, because the glory of God lives inside of you, when you see the Bible talk about gift of healing, don't say, that is for some pastors or some evangelists or some pastors or some ministers. No, sir. It is yours. I've explained to you when he says to one is giving this, to one is not trying to say, it's not trying to say that some have it and some don't have it. Because already in verse 7, he already told us the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone, every man to profit without. So we all have been given these manifestations. So it's not like you lack this or I lack it. We all have the things of the Spirit flowing. And so when you see the Bible talk about the gift of healing, it's not talking about something that is strange to you. It's not talking about something that is available to you. Already Jesus told us when he left, even before we're talking about gift of the Spirit, he told us before we left in Mark 16 and verse 17, he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues." Verse 18 says, they took up and the drinking deadly things shall not have them. They shall lay hands on the sick. So laying hands of the sick is for every believer, everyone that believes. So it's not exclusive to pastors. So that is the gift of healing that God gives to believers and that God has given to you. And you better know how it works and how to flow with it. You better know how it works and how to engage it. Because it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. So there is a gift of healing. And it can do a whole lot of things for us in the body of Christ today. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, we read the story of how, you know, prior to that verse, the apostles were threatened. They were beaten and threatened to never preach again. And then they came to pray. And look at their prayer. They say, "Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak the word." Look at verse 30. "And by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." They understood that how they will get bolder with the message is by the healing anointing. They told God, "Please, what you want to do for us is to stretch forth your hand to heal." And I tell you, God responded. Because in verse 33, the Bible tells us, verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them." So you see the healing anointing, in my note I said, the healing gift, you see, can confirm God's message when we preach it. It's one of the ways God confirms his message as we preach it. It's one of the ways God confirms his message as we preach it. So when you go to preach to people, one of the things that shows that God has sent you is that healings will happen. Are you what I'm saying? One of the things that shows that God has sent you is that what? Talk to me. Is that what? Healings will happen. Healings show that God sent you. I tell you the truth. I'm not saying everybody's going to be a miracle worker. But you see, the gift of healing is one of the ways that God uses to show up to say, "I sent this guy." In Acts chapter 3 and verse 15. Acts chapter 3 and verse 15. You know, this was Peter preaching. Peter said, "You killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof your witnesses," verse 16, "and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you now see and know." Look at verse 15, the previous verse. He said, God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. Verse 16 now says, "through faith in his name." So I can tell you, healing is one of the ways to prove that Jesus has raised from the dead, at least to the unbelievers. One way to prove to unsaved men that Christ is risen. Because in verse 15, Peter told them, this Jesus was raised from the dead. Verse 16, I told them, "through faith in his name, this man has been healed." Who was he talking about? The crippled man that was at the beautiful gate. So he used the healing of that man to confirm and to prove to them that Jesus has risen. That's why I remember that story I used to tell you guys. T.L. Osborne went to preach. You remember? He went for mission. He went to India for mission. And he said when he got there, he met these guys, very wonderful people, very nice guys. He said, you know, they were even assisting him, "Oh, Brother Osborne. And they were just quite, they were a young couple. So they were a young couple that had a baby. So those guys, those Indians were just very nice to them. But they came to preach the gospel to them. So when they started preaching, they said, you know, "You have to believe in God." They said, "Yes, we do believe in God." They said, "You have to," you know, everything they said, those Indians agreed. Until they got to a point, they said, you know, "Jesus died." They said, "Yes, yes." They said, "And he rose again." They said, "No." That's where there was a problem. They said, "How can you say he rose?" She said he tried to talk to them. They were not listening. He said he brought out the Bible. They brought out their Quran. I get the point. He quoted, they quoted. All trying to prove to him that they believe that is Jesus. They believe that was the Jesus that existed. But that Jesus died and was buried. That's where their own stopped. So you can't say he rose again. You can't say he's the Son of God. He said he did everything and they were not listening to him. It wasn't making sense to them. So when it was obvious that he wasn't doing anything in India, he carried his bag, him and his wife, and they returned home. How you say here? But when they returned home, they knew that something was missing. So they just kept praying. And of course, a great man of God came around their place to do a meeting. And they went to those meetings and they saw miracles. They saw healing. And they told his wife and said, this is actually what is missing in the ministry. So they went on some prayers, studied and all of that. And learned the gospel, learned the power of God, learned how to flow in these things. And they returned back to India. I got what I'm saying. They said, oh, brother husband, you guys are back. I say, yes, we are back. He says, the same thing you want to say. He says, yes, but I'll say it differently now. Jesus is alive. And I'll prove him to you. Get me a blind person. Get me a cripple. If Jesus is dead, then these guys will still be blind. If he's alive, these guys will see. And then he put his hands on them and said, in the name of Jesus, their eyes opened. It was the Indians that were running around and shouting, Jesus is alive. He is healing our people. Those miracles, those healings, we are a proof to them. Because there's no other way you can claim that the man is alive. If he's alive, listen, if he's alive, he should be able to do what he was doing when he was alive on earth. What was he doing when he was on earth? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So if he's alive, the same thing he did when he walked the face of the earth, they should do the same thing now. As you go about preaching your message, the proof that Jesus lives is that you should be able to put us on the sick and they will be healed. Now, I'm not saying that if the sick are not healed, that Jesus is not alive. I'm saying many people will not believe. Yes, he's alive, but how do you tell them that he's alive? Are you following what I'm saying? So you got to learn what the healing anointing, one thing you do with the healing gift is that it's one of the ways we show that Jesus is alive. We prove that Jesus is alive. And I tell you, that gift has this capacity to turn people to God. Now hear what I'm going to say. The healing gift and all the spiritual gifts cannot get anybody born again. Please keep that somewhere. When I just say they can turn people to God, you have to get what I'm saying in perspective. It cannot get anybody born again. Nobody can be born again because a cripple walked. Right? But it can get people to at least turn to God. What I mean is, at least pay attention to God. So you go to preach somewhere, people are not listening to you. If a cripple walks, people will listen. People will listen. I get what I'm saying. People will listen. You know, those days in a hometown, in place where I grew up, you know, Soka then, there are this particular denomination that actually said none of their members should attend other people's program. Nobody should go to anybody's program. So then that year, 2008, I can't forget, Brad Bonke was in Osaka then. And it was such an amazing thing. You know, Brad Bonke's meeting in Osaka, I think that nothing else has ever happened in that town since the creation of that town that was like that. Even till now, I can tell you the truth. Nothing. I didn't say no program. I said nothing else. I'm not joking. It was such a sight to behold. Everybody came for the program. Everybody. Including you. You just don't know you came. Everybody was there. It was such, those days you just come out, if you get to wherever the bike men are loading, just say Bonky. They will take you there. You don't have to discuss, like, I'm going to Bonky. They will take you there. So this particular denomination had announced to their people, don't go to that program. And like I tell, half of those guys they were talking to were not actually born again. Let's not go there. So by the first night of the crusade, my God, miracles everywhere. One of the things that happened in Osaka, there was a family that had three of the children, all blind. All of them got healed. When the news went out of town, I heard somebody asking, I thought now you're not gonna the program. I said, let me know what he said. What he was trying to say is, if that person that said it can open, if that person can heal my child, then I will not go. But if he cannot heal, I'm going there. And that was an opportunity many people got saved. How did they turn to the Lord like that? Because they were healing miracles. I get the point. I understand that we all are spiritual people, but many people are not. And even the spiritual man sometimes wants to see. I know what I'm talking about here. So healing helps. Let me show you a scripture for that. Acts chapter 9 verse 32. Acts 9 verse 32. Glory to God. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the past. So he was sick, he was paralyzed for 8 whole years. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Somebody say immediately. He arose immediately. What happened in verse 35? And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. So they began to pay attention to the message because that guy got up. And that's why, as a believer, one of the things you should trust God for as you go about sharing the gospel with people is that God is going to accompany your ministry with signs and wonders. That healings will follow. They saw this and turned to the Lord. And turned to the Lord. Because there are people that will never listen to you unless they see a healing. Yeah. Jesus talked about it. Jesus told them, I think that's John 14 verse 11. He said, even if you do not believe me for the works that I do. You get the point? He said, believe me for the works. That's John 14, 11. Believe me for the work's sake. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. So there are people that actually will pay attention to you because they're seeing the works. That's seeing the healing. So that is the gift of healing. And what I'm trying to show you so far is that one major place the gift of healing plays a good role is in outreach. Outreach. If you're someone that is going to preach the gospel to people, you must trust God to flow marvelously in these gifts. In this gift of healing. Are you still here? Are we still here? And I've already shown you already that, you know, it confirms the call of God upon his servants. It confirms the call of God. And I've said that already. It confirms the call of God upon his servants. It makes ministry easy. You know, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, Philip went to Samaria to go preach the gospel. In verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave it unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 7, for unclean spirits, we are crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taking up passes, and that we are lame, we are healed. So it was, and that's why they paid attention to him. They paid attention, verse 8, there was great joy in that city. And so you notice, one of the things that will show that God has sent you is that miracles will follow. Healings will follow. And that's why under the sound of my voice today, you have to know that it's a gift that God has given to us. And you notice, go to that 1 Corinthians 12. Healing is the only gift, pay attention to this, healing is the only gift that was spoken about in plural. 1 Corinthians 12. Gifts of healing. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 9. Come on. Okay, verse 10. Verse 10. Okay, I'm right, Abby. Don't confuse me. To another faith by the Spirit, by the same Spirit. To another what? Did you see that? Plural or singular? Gifts of healing. And that's not the only place that appeared. There's a place it appeared as gifts of healings. That's verse 28. Go to verse 28. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. And I strongly believe that why it appears that way in the plural, and Brother Ekin shares the same perception too, so I think I'm correct. Glory to God. Why it appears that is because there are many sicknesses, and there's a way sometimes gift of healing manifests. There are a few persons that you can notice that can be anointed specially to deal with certain kind of illnesses. You know what I'm saying? For instance, there are people that can tell you they have almost 100% success when it has to do with issues that have to do with cancer. There are people that have that success when it has to do with things that have to do with insanity. That kind of success. And these are the gifts of God in us. So there is a working of God in you. So which one, how do I know what is working in me? Just be healing the sick. Begin to flow in the gift. You will find out that there are certain abilities of God that are specially designated to you alone. Amen. Specially for you. So that's the gift of healing. And I'm going to get to how to flow in them. But before I talk about how to flow in them, let's talk about the working of miracles. That's another gift. The working of miracles. The working of miracles. Hallelujah. What is a miracle? Huh? What is a miracle? If a blind man sees, is that a healing or is it a miracle? Okay. If malaria is cured, is it a healing or miracle? Oh, malaria is healing. But blind man is. Now people are not serious. So if I have cough and I'm healed, what is it? Healing. Okay. But if my hand is broken and I'm healed, if you give a miracle. I'm glad, you know, the point, there is something in us that makes us feel miracles are bigger than healing. So if it is cough, it's healing. But if it is paralysis, it's miracle. I thought, order. Nah. Amen. Well, most times, I can tell you, of course, I've taught you this, the gifts of God work together. So you might not be able to differentiate which one is working now and which one is, the gifts of God actually work hand in hand. But see, where has to do with sickness, keep it at the realm of healing. Because the same power of God that can cure malaria can handle cancer. It's just that there can be health cases that will get to a point where you don't need healing. You need something creative to happen there. A child born without eyes. You know those kind of things. A child born, you know, without nose. We've seen these things. And then the pastor prays, nose will come out. Amen. Glory to God. So there are miracles. But then apart from healing issues, there are just miracles. A miracle is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature. A spiritual intervention in the ordinary course of nature. You know, something that changes the course of nature. So it's not just about miracle, it's not just about healing. Not just about healing. Someone was not meant to get a job unless this and that happened. And then by the word of God, the person gets a job. That's a miracle. So it's not just about healing. It's a temporary suspension of the accustomed order. An interruption of the system of nature as we know it. Amen. Don't worry, you don't have to. I'm just saying what I'm saying. The gift of the working of miracles operates by the energy or dynamic force of the spirit in reversals or suspensions of natural laws. A miracle is a sovereign act of the spirit of God, irrespective of laws or systems. A miracle has no other explanation other than this, the power of God that did it. That's no explanation. And you know why I just made this last point I made is many people just feel once they hear what they can't explain, they say it's fake. When you hear what you can't explain, that's why it's a miracle. I get what I'm saying? When you hear what you can't explain, that's why it's what? A miracle. When you hear what you can't explain. When you hear that somebody spoke to sun and the moon and it was suspended, that is a miracle. That's a gift like that. And it's working inside of you. You're not just seeing the result because you're doubting that it can happen. When someone speaks to rain and rain ceases or rain starts, that's a miracle. You can't explain it. I get the point. When someone moves in his finances from thousands and in less than 3 weeks, the person is in billions, don't say scam. That is a miracle. When they take the ark of God to the house of Obed-Edom, and in 3 months, the guy became a wealthy man in 3 months. That is a miracle. And so, miracles are not always things you can explain. If you can explain them, they are not qualified to be called miracles. I say it's a temporary suspension in the course of nature. That even though this is how things normally go, but for your sake, it took another turn. That's a miracle. And I such a gift to work miracles. That's a gift to work miracles. Amen. And can I say to you, you should be expecting miracles in your life. Not just to receive, but also to work them. Because the believer is a work of miracle. I get the point. He's a work of miracle. There's a gift of God given to us to work miracles, to wrought signs and wonders. And we've seen the working of miracles do a lot of things. For instance, when the Israelites were going to cross the Red Sea in Exodus 14, Moses lifted up his staff, struck that Red Sea, he divided. That is a miracle. That's a miracle. I get the point. And I want to say, you know, when I was studying yesterday, one of the things that came to my spirit very strongly is this. Our generation were not ready for miracles. Because we are so used to the ordinary. Because when I began to look at the list of miracles in God's word, I can tell you, we are not ready for it. We are so used to the ordinary. The guy struck Red Sea divided. Not in the spirit. Physically, one went this way, the other one went this way. That there is a miracle. Amen. So when you hear people share some testimonies and you just say it's fake, no, it's not fake. It's called the gift of working. You just don't know the name. The name is not fake. The name is the gift of working of miracle. So next time when you hear such thing, just say, "Wow, that is a miracle." That is not fake. You are making a mistake. I know you didn't know that. Amen. We've seen that work. Moses got to the rock in Exodus 17. He struck the rock. Water began to come from the rock. That is a miracle. It's a miracle of provision. It's a miracle of provision. And that is what you can actually do. So water came from the rock because Moses struck that rock as instructed by God. Are you still here? We also see another example of provision in Mark 6 and verse 36. Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. And people ate. People ate. That is a miracle. Jesus turned water into wine. That is a miracle. So there are miracles. And they didn't cease with Jesus. They didn't cease with the apostles. It's still working inside of us. It's still working mightily in us. Just that we don't know what it, we've limited it to just healing. It's not just healings. It's not just healings. There are miracles that can happen. I get to the point. So why people come here and say, you know, I didn't have, all I had in my account was 10,000. Pastor prayed for me and in less than 1 week, I had 10 million. Stop saying fake. The name is not fake. The name is miracle. Just I don't know the name. I understand. It's not like you are being insulted. You thought the name is fake. The name is what? Miracle. Money can grow. Yeah. Bread can multiply. So, there's one scammer around my side that said that he put sticker on his gas and the car did not finish. That one nah, joke is not fake. It's miracle. Can you pray for your gas and trophies? I tell you under God, you can. You just don't, you've not done it because you've not had the need. That's the only problem. And that's why you better learn how to work miracles so that when you have the need, it can come through for you. Amen. You can travel like this and your fuel will finish. and you speak to the car to keep moving. It's not joke, it is miracle. Hallelujah. So they multiplied 5 loaves, multiplied fish, turned water to wine. Turned water to wine. They caught servant Dr. Omokpai some years ago and they wanted to kill him. They gave him acid to drink. He blessed it and took it, and nothing happened to him. It's not lamba, it's miracle. Say amen. It's miracle. So all these people, they can forge. No, it's a miracle. There are things that you hear. You know, Pastor Devo, he said he went to one place and he asked the Lord to suspend winter when he's there. It's not fake that you wanted to say. You wanted to say, that's a miracle. And we are still in for these things. We're still in for these things. I believe in miracles, so. I believe in miracles. I believe because that is a gift, God, the gift of working of miracles. So you see provision. You see provision. Gift of miracles, working of miracles played the role again in the ministry of Jesus when they were on the high sea and the storm was raging. He got up and spoke to the storm and it was calm. That's Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Spoke to the storm and everything became calm. And that can still happen. Because the days of miracles are not over. No, they are not over. Amen. And again, you see, working of miracles can also be used to confirm the call of God upon men. You know, in Matthew 11, verse 2, the disciples of John came to Jesus. And they came to ask him, John said we should ask you, are you the Christ or do we expect another? Are you the one that is to come, or should I expect another? What answer did Jesus give them in verse 4? He said, Jesus said, go and tell John the things you see and hear. Verse 5, look at it. Tell that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. So the dead are raised. Instead, say, these things I'm doing are the proof that God sent me. They are the proof that I am the one. So miracles are a proof that God has sent a man. I get what I'm saying. That's why in every God ordained ministry, go and meet the members. Tell them, tell your church, why are you guys going there? They will tell you some stories that has happened in their life. You yourself will allow them to go there. Because God always confirms his call upon his servants by giving everyone that worships there an evidence, at least one miracle to show I sent that man. And that's why if you are here, that's why if you meet members of our church, they can tell you miracles upon miracles through this ministry. They can tell you. And that's the way of God saying, I sent him. Are you what I'm talking about, friends? He said, go tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear. All these things happening are a proof that God has sent me as the one that is to come. Jesus was telling him. And so when you step out on the streets to go preach, one proof that God has sent, because I tell you what, God has sent you. One proof that he has sent you to that street to come preach is that miracles will follow you. So you enter someone's shop and he says, I've not sold anything in the past 2 weeks. Tell the person, wow, lucky you. You will start selling from now. Amen. And you put your hands and you walk miracles. It's worked. Hallelujah. So you see, he can deliver from danger. He can deliver from danger. They wanted to shoot me. And then they wanted to shoot. I shouted, I'm a chosen. The gun did not shoot. He says, it's joke. It's not joke. It's not fake. It's called miracle. That's what it's called. You want God to shoot you. So why don't you believe? Do you want to die? Amen. You heard someone testify here. Somebody that you all know here. They wanted to shoot him too. The gun did not work. You know the story, right? Here in this place, it's not joke, it's miracle. It's not forged, it's the power of God. I know what I'm saying. You heard that testimony last 2 years, was it not last year? Remember? Man up. The guy that was kidnapped. Yeah. Kidnapped, we didn't know about, we were praying here in this church. And God went to work. Everyone was kidnapped. They brought him out, particularly. At first, they came close to him and they felt he was using charm. So they collected all the bangles and all whatever on his hand. Yet, they were still feeling that strange thing. They collected, he was still feeling that something was off. I told them, I don't have anything. They began to call the sister and say, send us 500,000. Send us, sister said, oh, I don't have anything. And one of them said, remove this guy. This guy will cost up for us here. So they put him in a vehicle, brought him to somewhere, dropped him down, left him. There were up to seven that were kidnapped that day. They just brought him out alone. Because we are here praying. We had no idea about it. Or at least I didn't have an idea. I had learned that some of you were aware. I wasn't aware. And just in the midst of the ministration that night, the guy, he entered the vehicle that brought him right in front of this church that day. And it was such an awesome moment that day. That is called walking of miracle. It's not fake, it's miracle. That's what they call it. When you hear things that sound like fake, that's why it's miracle. If you can understand this, then it's not a miracle. That's why I said, by the time we attack all these things we are attacking, we are just trying to show that we are not ready for the miracles in our days. Because miracles are real. Short legs can grow. Short legs grow. Short legs. Dwarfs can get tall. It's called miracle. I said, dwarfs can get tall. Wow. Stop wishing. I'm not a dwarf. Are you? Somebody's trying to say, sir, walk it in my life. So how many inches do you want? How many more? 6 more. Glory to God. Amen. I believe in miracles for real. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. Let me show this to you. If any of these things I've mentioned, if the power of darkness can do the opposite, then the power of God can work it out. If the power of darkness can affect somebody's business, and his business will start going down. I know what I'm talking about. What it means is that the power of God can affect somebody's business and it will start moving up. And in case you don't know, demons don't leave anybody's business the same. I'm telling you. Jesus cast out devils from one man. And the devils begged to enter the pig. Immediately they entered 2,000 pigs. All those pigs went and fell into the water. That is someone's business. 2,000 pigs. All wasted into the water. Because one demon. So it doesn't leave anybody's business the same. So when people tell you they prospered by their God, don't doubt it. It's called working of miracle. It's called working of miracle. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. No, there was a meeting I was passing with Pastor Dewey's meeting. No, there are some things I've seen, crazy things. Someone, instead of him to have hairs on his armpits, he's having feathers. Real life story. I don't know, this one's meant to be funny. Why is it funny? Feathers. And he was preaching that day, and by the power of God, the things dried up. Someone say it's fake. How is it fake? If the devil can kill somebody, feathers. You know, that's some small charm people do this year that are quite very annoying. Met someone I was to minister to. Once that person comes around you, you feel this strong body odor. I'm not talking about, it's not normal. Bad body odor. Don't you bath? I bath. Don't you decide? I say, an enemy has done this. It's an enemy. The name of Jesus, out! The body odor disappeared. Yes. It's not fake. It's what? It's miracle. So instead of saying fake, say miracle. We don't say fake. We say miracle. So what if those guys are fortunate? I say miracle still. Because I know that God can do it. and even do more than that. So it's a miracle, it's not fake. Now, if you are forging it, it's between you and God. I don't even know why people should forge miracles. Why are you forging miracle stories? God can do it. Why are you forging it? You only forge to help someone who cannot do it. He can do it. Don't forge for him. Don't help him. Don't assist God. He's well able to do more than you ask or think. So don't assist him. There are miracles. I've ministered in a meeting and someone's phone that was damaged got repaired. Real life story. Who was in that meeting? Anybody? Someone's phone that was damaged got repaired totally. Say this phone was blind, was not working. We prayed. Now, you know that sometimes people believe God in a very crazy way. That's not healing. It's a miracle. Glory to God. Someone is saying, I forgot that my phone at home. I was just carrying that phone come today. Because, do you know why I believe this? And I've shared this story with you guys, and I'll just get into practical stuff, how to flow in it. The first day I sat under, a man of God worked miracles in that dramatic way. I've told you guys this story many times. This man said we should get our white handkerchiefs. That he was going to pray on those white handkerchiefs. And that once he does that if you touch those handkerchiefs on anything, that thing is going to be fixed. And he shared a story of how someone used that handkerchief on a system that was bad. Laptop. Computer. And the thing was repaired. So, I came with my own handkerchief. And he prayed. That night we saw me. I saw things that my eyes have never seen before. I saw people lift their wheelchairs. That things you don't forge. As they are running, their family members are running with them rejoicing. I get what I'm saying? Miracles that have address. So, it was... I knew that God was here. So I carried my handkerchief and came home. I can't forget. And then I used to have a game. Video game. Not PlayStation. Did you play Sega? Huh? Anybody? My God. And then my Sega game gave me a tough time. It gave me many things. That day was after that was bad. So I remember that story. I brought that. I'm saying because my brother is here now. We can ask. I brought that white handkerchief. Put it on the Sega adapter in the name of Jesus. The thing corrected and began to work. I was angry. Actually, I was angry. I was like, okay, if this handkerchief that just attended this meeting, I carried it, could do this. It means I was there, flesh and blood. I should be able to. I destroyed the handkerchief. But that gave me a mind. That told me something. Miracles work. That's miracle. I started playing my Sega. Amen. Doubt miracles at your own expense. Let me tell you something why you shouldn't doubt miracles. There is no way you finish living this your life and you will not need a miracle one day. That you must need a miracle one day. If it's not in your health, it will be in your business. If it's not in your business, it will be. You must need a miracle somewhere one day. You must. Everything can be against you. The government, imagine you finish setting up a structure and the government gives a decree that every building on this road should go down. You need a miracle at that moment. So keep saying that joking, fake. That time you will cry to God and nobody will hear you. Not because God will shut his ears towards you, but because even you, your heart is cut off from God. With all the things you say that it cannot happen. That day, your words will rise up against you because it's fake. All you receive that day will be fake. Because a very long time you've been saying, it's fake, it's fake, it's forged, it's fake. That day, all your prayers will be fake. All expectations will be fake. Believe God in your heart. Miracles are real. The blind are still seeing. I know what I'm saying. Lame people are still walking every day. HIV is being cured every day. Cancer is being cured every day. Believe God that is the working of miracles and it's working in your life too. You should move from the realm of doubting miracles to the realm of working miracles. I guess what I'm talking about. Go from the place of doubting to the place of walking. So the priest was ministering in the church one day, and so in the midst of the mist, he was preaching so powerfully that the keyboard behind him began to play itself. Began to play. Just play. It was such a wonderful meeting. He said, somebody set it. He says, I have a problem. You see why you have a problem? May God help your head. Began to play itself. And I've experienced miracles in my own life. I've experienced miracles in my finances. I've experienced miracles of deliverance, miracles of safety. You get the point? Miracles of safety. I believe with all my heart that if you shoot me, I will not die. With all my heart. Amen. Do you believe with all your heart? Since I believe with all my heart that if you shoot me, I will not die. I know you don't believe it. Just say it again. I believe with all my heart that if anybody shoots me, I will not die. I know you are saying that. You say, I believe with all my heart that if anybody shoots me, it will not enter me. You see, the problem is somebody is saying, people are just whining yourself. But yet you believe that somebody can go to a native doctor's house and they put it, say, I'm now Odeshi, I'm now fortified. May God help you. I walk miracles. I said, I walk miracles. Sit for a moment, let me just close. I remember praying over a pepper farm. Have I told that story? The woman brought us into a pepper farm. Something happened. I don't know what struck the pepper farm. Everything had died. Very large pepper farm. It's in Pastor Chidi's village, so they cultivate a lot of pepper. A lot of pepper. So I was looking, all the everything dead. And I said, what do they say? Just pray. And we just prayed and left. Next morning, everything alive. Everything. It's not fake. It's what? It's miracle. And my hands work miracles. When you see a person that has been barren for years, and suddenly, you see, 42 years barrenness, conceive. That's not when they start saying, all this you can forge. It's not forged. It is the miracle working power of God. Barren women still carry babies. They still carry babies. And I have a lot of testimonies like that, even in this church. People without fallopian tubes still carry babies. People without wombs still carry babies. Amen. Because I say it again, you will need a miracle one day. You will need a miracle one day. You will have a day that you will get to the end of the road. You've tried everything, nothing has worked. Everybody will get there one day. Now, I'm not praying a bad prayer for you. It's the reality of life. We're on earth. Everybody's going to need a miracle one day. I told about that young man, that man that gave birth to his child. The child was born at a very premature stage. Grew up to become very dull. Totally dull. You are talking up, he's talking down. He doesn't grab things. At 5, he will still be behaving like a 2-year-old child. Playing with sand. And he was just like that. And the child began to grow up when he was in primary school. They asked what he wanted to be in the future. He said, I want to be a pilot. They tried to convince him. He said, no, I want to be a pilot. Like Mumu, like Onuku. You know, I want to be a pilot. So he said, you can try to call an imbecile. And they came to tell the dad. So the dad tried to convince this guy. And all that. The dad is, father is a man of God. He said he was angry. So I tried to tell him that my child is slow. I know the child is slow. You don't have to tell me. And as they left the office, he said, the Lord said to him, but with God, all things are possible. And that became it. He began to fight. He began to fight. With God, all things are possible. That child has grown up. He said the first day the child called him that he has gotten, because he had actually became healed. First day the child called him that he had gotten, he's now a pilot. He said he was so happy. He said, so he can now come. I said, Dad, I'm not coming back. I don't just want to fly private. I want to study, but I want to fly commercial. Then he flies commercial airlines. Yes. He's all over the world telling people his story. Because the father decided, my child will not go like this. He believes that that is a miracle. Now you that is praying, saying, this miracle is not real. That's why your life will just follow the natural order. So that is working of miracles. And I will work miracles. I'm a miracle worker. That's who I am. So how do you begin to flow in the working of miracles? I'm already doing the first job for you. You have to believe that miracles are real. You have to believe that miracles are possible. Doubters don't work miracles. You have to believe that even though I've not seen these things, they can happen. Doubters don't work miracles. People who always doubt everything, they will not see results in the miraculous. I believe extraordinary things. And that's why I can do extraordinary things. I believe that mountains can be moved. That's why mountains are moved when I show up. I believe. So you see that trend on social media last 2 weeks or last 3 weeks was actually against your ministry. You know, that's the thing many of us don't see what the devil is doing. They were attacking a particular ministry, saying all the miracles are fake. That is actually against you. The devil planted those things to let you feel and believe that miracles don't happen. Miracles don't happen. And I was telling you guys the other time that most of those testimonies that sharing there, that they were things that happened in the dream. That the bloggers just cut off those. You remember what I was telling you? Cut off those parts where they announced they happened in the dream. And then they announced it. When I went home, I was thinking about that. And the Holy Ghost said to me, even if it did happen in the dream, can it not happen? Can a lion not carry someone at the back? You know the thing is, you know what I believe? If there is need for it will happen for me. If that is the only way for God to come to for me, it will happen for me. If that is the only way. Somebody walked on top of water. Somebody walked on top of, like, Jesus' name. He says, can you walk on top of water? Now I won't. Why? There is no, if there is need. I say if there is need, you see me. So how can there be need? You go for missions, riverine area, and there is danger. There are no boats to move us out. There is no ship to move us. I get what I'm talking about. The only way, and we cannot swim. So are we going to die there? God will let us die. We will step on the water and walk. Now I believe, now that is how my heart is. I may not have seen it, but I believe that if there is need, we'll walk it. If there is need, we'll walk it. It's a lie. It's not possible. That's why when you get in that situation, you will die. Actually. Because you look back, they're coming at you with guns. There is no boat to move you. You don't have knowledge of swimming. So what are you going to do? So you notice, Jesus didn't walk on water to show off. He walked on water because the disciples were in danger. So he had to hurry up to meet them before that storm takes over. So it was necessity. So if there is need, God will cure cancer. If there is the need, God will replace your eyes, give you brand new eyes, brand new organs. You know, the Lord said to me recently, that was a few months ago, said the days for healing of organs have come in this ministry. Yeah. I told you that, right? All these organs, the kidney, liver, I'm not afraid of those things again. Kidney failed. Bring it. It will come alive. And if it can't come alive, we create a new one. Because every manufacturer has spare parts. So you say, that womb is not working. It no longer scares me. I used to tell my friends those days, it's been like I say this thing, I'm going to say now. I used to tell them, I'm not afraid of sickness. I'm not praying for anything, but there's no sickness that will come to me now, and I feel like my life has finished. I know healing so much. I know they heal. I told them, I will pray for God to heal me. They said, what if it doesn't happen? I said, I will ask the church to pray for me. They said, what if it doesn't happen? I said, there are many miracle men on earth. I know where to carry myself to, and I'll be fine. I got what I'm saying. Some things don't, shouldn't fear you anymore. They diagnose you of this. They say, ah, my life has finished. How can your life finish? Your life cannot finish, sir. It cannot. You know, they say, it's only 2 days that people that have this leave. You didn't listen before you even went for that test. You've been living. I got what I'm saying. You've been living. So, what's the fear? God is a healer. He's a restorer. So you have to believe. That's where working on miracle begins from. Want to heal this? You want to believe? Believe it. I don't say you have to see everything. Believe that these things can happen. Oh, you know, it was Paul that was preaching. It was Paul that was preaching. And he told them, why does this seem a light thing to you that God can raise the dead? Why does this seem a strange thing rather to you? Let me look. Give me that verse. I just felt that. Oh, la kena moshadaya. Oh, hala matoya kate enkrodo laba. Oh. Kanderuko to lebana kadayaba. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Have you seen it? Acts 26 verse 8. Acts 26 verse 8. That's where the work of miracles comes from. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? This scripture was ringing in my head when that particular chosen trend was on. Why does it look an incredible thing with you that a blind eye can see? Why does it sound strange to you that a dead man can rise? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Probably I can't tell you of this. Ooh. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I'm asking you again, Amplify Classic. Why is it incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? Message. For the life of me, I can't see why it's a criminal offense to believe that God raises the dead. For the life of God, how do you guys ever doubt that the Almighty can raise the dead? Why will you doubt that the Almighty can multiply food? Why will you doubt that the Almighty can turn water to wine? Why will you doubt that the Almighty can make fish swallow someone? And then for me, the person was always trying to run an analysis of Jonah's miracle. Say it's not possible that when fish swallows, digestion takes place. I say, oh, my child, foolish boy, you don't know anything. Very foolish boy. It can't be explained. I've seen miracles. You will see miracles. I was a child, a scorpion, live scorpion, climbed through my body, around my back. I didn't know what it was. I was just feeling something climbing on my back. And I was like, somebody's moving on my body. And I just turned, held my hand with it, removed the clothes, and it was scorpion, live scorpion. What will you call that? What will you call that? People, somebody said he was sleeping. It wasn't me. Somebody said he was sleeping and felt something cold move around his body. It was a snake moving around his body. Woke up and he just did nothing happen. Black snake. What will you call that? Why will it seem incredible to you that God can do these things? Why do you count the strange thing that a blind eye can open? Work on your mindset. There is nothing our God cannot do. It should not even seem strange. It should not even sound strange. There is nothing I hear that God has done that is even strange to me. If anything it wants to sound strange, you go and look at your Bible. Your Bible is a chronicle of miracles. A virgin conceived and had a child. Nothing is bigger than that. Nothing is more strange than that on earth. And if you believe that, there is nothing our God cannot do. There's nothing He cannot do. He can change your life in a minute. He can change your finance in a minute. He can change your story in a minute. He can turn turn you from nothing to something. He can give you answers when you're not expecting answers. He can. I want to encourage someone under the sound of my voice. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. There is nothing our God cannot do. So why do you find it? Why do you hear? Why do you who are here find it impossible to believe that God raises the dead? I wanted to go home with that question. Why do we find it impossible to believe that these things can happen? That these things can happen. That these things can happen. My mind is stretching. My mind is stretching to see that with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. This morning, as I'm teaching on miracles, miracles are happening here in this meeting. Surgeries are being conducted. Why does it seem strange to you that God Almighty, who gave knowledge to doctors to conduct surgery, why is it strange to you that himself can conduct the surgery without needing doctors? Why is it a strange thing? Why is it a strange thing? They brought a woman to me, I remember, shortage of blood. Shortage of blood. I didn't have any knowledge then. I didn't have much as I know now. Do you know what I said? Because they went to the hospital, they went the last time, shortage of blood, they don't have money for blood transfusion and all of that. And then, you know what came to my heart? Sorry, it's not correct, it just came to my head that day. I said, but that is the blood of Jesus. And that's what came to my mind. So I told her, well, I'm going to give you blood of Jesus to take. Real life story. And I'm going to pray and believe that love just coming to you and your blood will be rejuvenated. She said, amen. You know, miracle doesn't know sound doctrine. Miracle doesn't understand sound doctrine. Wrong interpretation of miracles will happen. That's why I say all these people are fake. Don't you see what I forget what I'm interpreting? They are real. I put my hand on the hand of Jesus. She went under the power. And I said, the blood of Jesus coming to you and fill up your blood. She said, amen. Went for test the next day. Blood counts. Perfect. Now thinking about that thing, I said, I'm ashamed of myself that someone drank the blood of Jesus. Now I'm teaching, I said, blood of Jesus is not liquid, it's the life of God. But actually, I gave someone the blood of Jesus to drink, and the person became well. There's nothing our God cannot do. Don't write it off. So I said, number one, keep standing so that we just close. Believe the word of God. Believe the word of God. Then I can tell you what else to do. Lay hands on the sick. Take steps. Lay hands on the sick. You can never see miracles of healing, especially if you don't begin to lay hands on the sick. You will not see healing, so you will lay hands on the sick. Then when you are confronted with any case, speak directly. This is very important. Speak directly to the situation. Miracles don't happen when you pray around. Miracles happen when you are direct with your prayer. When you come, if somebody is sick, don't come around and start saying, oh Lord, I know you can heal. I know you can heal. It's not prayer for healing. So speak to that sickness. In the name of Jesus, blind eyes open. That's how to work miracles. In the name of Jesus, mountains move. Jesus said, Mark 11:23-24, if you shall say to this mountain. So in working miracles, you talk to the mountain. You don't talk about the mountain. You don't pray about the mountain. You pray and direct prayer to the mountain. So someone is mad. Someone has insanity around you. You don't come down and be saying, oh Lord, I know you can do it. That's not the point at that moment. Command that demon of infirmity, of insanity to disappear. Command that demon of insanity to get off that person's mind. Command that demon of insanity to leave the person's spirit. In the name of Jesus, be free. Direct like that. Command restoration. Command restoration. Command restoration. So you speak directly. Speak. What I'm telling you, all of you can do it. All of you. Speak directly. Speak directly. So how do I make my food multiply? Command the food to multiply. That's just how it works. Directly. I've shared my story with you guys a lot. Just tell the food in the name of Jesus, you'll be enough for us. Directly like that. How do you work out programs when there is no money? Money is lacking. There's no problem. Same thing, we just in the name of Jesus, then money you are made available. Directly like that. Then things will begin to work. That same thing you do in your business. Same thing you do in your career. They say that I'm now about to sack you. for nothing. You didn't do anything. They said, I want to take your job from you. In the name of Jesus, my lot is preserved. And I speak that this job is mine. It's not going to be taken away. I'm actually getting a promotion. Speak directly. Look at that thing that is not working. Speak to it. That's at work miracles. So you're doing evangelism. You get somebody's business. Person says, ah, sir, this business, we've not sold anything in 2 weeks. Tell the person, well, thank God I'm here. In the name of Jesus. Now, sales begin to happen. Customers begin to flow in. I bless the favor of God upon the shop. That's how it works. Speak directly. Now, there's no magic. I'm just telling you a simple thing. There's no magic. If you want to know whether what I'm saying is true, go and try it this week. Speak over any case. Speak over. Look at something. Just talk to it. I believe in miracles. And then when you are doing that, if there's any instruction that God puts in your heart, if there's any special instruction that God puts, just do it. Because sometimes you can want to pray for the sick, and as you are praying, the Lord says, well, touch his eyes. The Lord can say, call his name. The Lord can say, I've seen that kind of instruction. If there are special instructions, obey it. Jesus prayed, Jesus saw a leper and did not pray for him. Just told him, go and show yourself to the priest. That was an instruction. Jesus saw another blind man, he mixed sand and touched his eyes. Now that was an instruction. But if there is no instruction, just pray and speak God's word. It will work just like that. Just like that. If there are instructions that follow, it's fine. But if there is none, just pray. Speak God's word. Speak God's word. Everything will work to see that those things happen. You know, you better believe miracles. I said you must believe miracles one day. You see this program, this church we are doing now. Now God has blessed us. And he's blessing us even more. We have things we need. Things can get damaged. We get a replacement. And thank God for supply. There was a time when we can come for programs. Amplifier that you hire that is not your own. We go bad. And you have to do your program. I can't count how many times I put my hands upon generator. I can't count how many times I put my hands upon amplifier. I can't count more. Generator, walk in Jesus' name. It's a generator that I have not put oil for 3 months. It will just work that night. The next day, it will not work again. Amen. You know, Dr. Lukoya said, the day my friend knew I had a friend there. He was when he was schooling in the US, at the UK, he was doing one of his studies. The day he knew I was not feeling fine was the day he came into my room, in my parlor, and saw me laying hands on my fridge. Commanding my fridge, you shall be full with food. You shall real life. Yeah, that's the guy now lost it. See this one? Forget. Miracles are real. You are just one that you don't dare. You know what I'm saying? You don't dare to do it. Dare to speak to that case. See, it will not change. So I usually lay hands on the fridge so that food can appear. I don't know. He doesn't even care. How? Can God not make food appear? Did he not make manna drop? Why does it seem incredible to you that God can make food appear? I know what I'm saying. That's always not a big deal. If food wants to appear, let it appear. If God wants to provide the money for me to come buy it, let him provide it. If he wants somebody to bring the food, let it. All I know is that food I want inside this fridge. I believe God. I believe God. This thing is why what I'm sharing is what I carry when I want to do all these miracle meetings that we do here. See this particular verse I showed, Acts 26, I stunned that verse a lot. And I actually wonder, why does this seem incredible to us? So whenever they're bringing a case before me, and I'm thinking, this one I read though, that verse will just pop up in my spirit. Why does it seem incredible to you that God can do this? That's the answer. And if you really think about it, there is no reason why it should seem incredible to us that God can raise the dead. There's no reason. There's no reason. Hallelujah. He's still the same. He's still the same. He's still the same. Woo. You can never, never change. You can never, never change. You can never, never change. Jesus is the same
forever.
Don't worry, just stay. You can never, never change.
You
can never, never change. Higher.
You can never, never change. Jesus the same forever.
You can never change.
You can never, never change.
You can never change.
You can never, never change. You can never, never change. Jesus the same forever.
One more time. You can never change.
You can never, never change.
You can never change.
You can never, never change.
I am Andoleba Shidalaba.
You can never, never change. Jesus the same forever.
Let me help you with something. This week, there will be miracles. I want you to go and walk miracles, but let me just help you with something. Place demand on something you want God to change in your life. I will just work a miracle for you so that you will now go and do the same for others. Sir, you speak with so much confidence. That's how I was created. To talk like this. Do you have a demand? You have 1 minute. Place a demand on the power of God. You pray for 1 minute, I will pray. Let's see if this, if I was saying is real. Let's see if it is real. Pray, just 1 minute. Health challenge, financial challenge, business, whatever. Just pray. Just pray. God is going to confirm this calling to you. Pray. In the name of Jesus. Now I pray for you and I speak this week. You will testify over what you prayed about. Let everything that needs to work for you to have your answers get to work now. Let angels that need to act get to work now. You prayed for a job this week, you have your job. You prayed for a healing this week. This moment you are testifying already. You prayed for finances this week. You are receiving a financial miracle. You prayed for an overflow this week. You are getting an overflow. Everything you asked for this week, my God gives you a miracle already. So testimonies will come in this week. Take note of what you prayed about because it is coming this week. This week. And if you pray of a health challenge, the healing has come already now as I'm talking. That devil of infirmity has left your system now. That devil of sickness has left your system now. In the name of Jesus, out of those bodies. You foul devil, take your hands off those bodies. Take your hands off those finances. Take your hands off that career. Take your hands off that family. Take your hands off that job. Take your hands off that business. In the name of Jesus. Take your hands off that guy's studies. Take your hands off that studies. Take your hands off that life. Results. Show forth now. Results. The show forth now. In the name of Jesus. This week, Lord, show everyone here that you sent us. By confirming the words of your servants with signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready this week? Your testimony will come this week. Amen. Now, you see, the thing about working of miracles is, if you are not well taught, it can be so simple. So I said, sir, this small prayer you pray now, is it? It is just it. If you are sick in your body, check your body now. If you had a pain in your body, check for the pain. If you had a growth in your body, that growth just disappeared. If you are having fever or headache before you came here, check it. Full restoration, full healing. Now, if you prayed about anything that you're going to confirm when you get home, please write it and don't forget it. I don't want you to forget. When it happens, you'll remember that the power of God has gone to work. Your results are here. Your results are here. There's someone listening to me. I don't know whether here or online. You have a case with insomnia. Sleep has left your eyes in a very long time. Thank you, Father. God is restoring you. From this service, as you go, you're going to sleep a lot. I'm telling you, under God. Now, remember that meeting? I was having a meeting. This guy, I've not seen that kind of case before. He said, I've not slept for like 11 years. I said, what do you mean? You've not slept? He said, I'm telling. And he said, he was looking like someone that has not slept. He said, every night he finds demons come to terrorize his sleep. And people are there to confirm it. I didn't meet him. Some of our people went for evangelism and he was talking to them. So they told him to come for the program. They sat him down in front. They told me about the case, but they didn't tell me he was the guy. He said every night demons come to terrorize him. He's not able to find sleep. I told him, well, I don't understand actually what, I don't even think it's possible. But if he says that's his case, then it's fine. Let him come. He was just sitting in front. And I was just ministering by the power of God. The next I was preaching. Somebody was sleeping in front of me. And I was like, who is this? How can somebody be in church and he's sleeping? So I was about to say, ushers. So they ran to me and said, is that boy that said he has not slept? I said, hey, let him sleep. He doesn't need the word, he needs the sleep. The guy slept from that moment till I said, ministering by the power of God. I said, laying hands on people. I told him to wake him up. They woke him up. They brought him. I said, you've not slept? He said, yes, I've not slept for long. I said, wow, are you happy? I said, I'm happy. I said, sleep again. He went again. Till I left the church. I don't know how he woke up. But that, Satan is wicked. The devil is wicked. If you've not slept for long, you know how you feel. I told him, what do you feel? He said, every time, constant headache. Constant. I said, your head should be, you have blown up by now. But thank God for miracles. Your answers are here now. Do you believe? Do you believe? Let me ask you, do you believe? Are your answers here? Are your answers here? Do you work miracles? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.